Romans chapter number 12, and I'm not going to preach real long tonight, but I do want to share with you some thoughts from God's Word, and they will have to do with what we just commemorated there, and basically where we can go from that place. Romans 12 in verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to notice there in those verses that the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Roman Christians, he calls to them that they would present their bodies a living sacrifice. And he uses as their motivation for them to be a living sacrifice the mercies of the Lord Jesus. And that's really what we just commemorated. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ is here with us even as he promised. And we worshiped him by remembering his death for us. What a great opportunity for us to do that. What a great thing for us to do. But now, there is something more that we can do. It's not enough just to commemorate his death. That's a good thing, but it's a good place to start. Because of his mercy, and because, just like we talked about, he gave his body for us. Remember what the book of Ephesians tells us in chapter number 5. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. That means even the Lord Jesus Christ did not hate his own flesh. It was a sacrifice for him to give that body for us. It was a sacrifice for him to lay down his life at a very young age and give his life a sacrifice for you and me. I don't doubt at all that he desired in his own heart and life that he could live beyond about 33 years, live into his older years, just like you and I would want to do. We wouldn't want to give our lives or our flesh, and yet he did. He gave himself as a sacrifice for you and me. Not only his body, but his blood. He gave those for us. Now, because he was willing to do that, now we are called upon that because he did that for us, that we would do the same. And I pray and I trust that tonight the Lord will help all of us to be able to answer the question in our lives, have I given my life, is my life a living sacrifice for the Lord? What a great question. Again, I would ask that of you, is your life a living sacrifice for the Lord? And if not, then I want to encourage you tonight to give your life a living sacrifice for the Lord. Let's pray, and then I'll get into an illustration of it, and we'll get right to the main part of the message as well. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people. Lord, I don't have any great spectacular words to say that are deep and maybe beyond what your people have ever thought of before. Lord, I don't have anything to give to them that would be impressive to them at all. But Lord, I do have your word to give to them. And Lord Jesus, this is the word that you've given. And Lord, I pray that tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would impress upon all of us the need for us to yield and give ourselves as a living sacrifice for you. Lord, I cannot do that with myself, and I cannot do it with your people, but I ask that you would. Please rebuke Satan, who would try to give excuses, who would try to undo the work that you want to do. I claim the power and the blood of Jesus Christ over this congregation, those who are under the sound of my voice, that they would be able to hear your Spirit speaking to them and be able to understand the application that you would give to each one of them. Now, Lord, I ask that you'd help. Give me even wisdom as I make this illustration to them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Brother Pritchett to come at this time, and I want to use him as, I'm going to ask him to help me with an illustration that I want to give to you. Because the Bible says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. So What I want to do is illustrate something that'll be probably somewhat, maybe a little funny to you, maybe it won't at all, but it should help us just a little bit. I have right here in this bag one of the greatest things that Brother Pritchett and I ever did for the church, and that is we finally bought the church its own drill and impact driver set. We'd always been bringing his or mine, which, by the way, I tell my wife all the time, the Christmas that she bought me one of these very similar, different brand, but a set like this is the best present she ever got me. There's just so many things that now I can do at home that I couldn't do before because I didn't have the right tool. Now I do. Well, Brother Pritchett and I were always bringing our own, and then we realized one day it dawned on us, duh, we should just have the church buy one. And so we did, and this is it. And we're thankful because there are all kinds of projects here at the church that this comes very handy for. But I want you to imagine for a minute that this doesn't belong to the church. I want you to imagine for a minute that this belongs to me. And I want you to imagine for a moment that Brother Pritchett is in need of it for something that he needs for his own projects at home or whatever, and he doesn't have his own. And so if I were to come to him and he had a project that he needed to do, and I were, or he were to come to me and say, Pastor, I really need a good drill, and so can I borrow yours? And if I were to come to him and say, absolutely, Brother Pritchett, here it is, you can borrow this, all right? And so let's pretend he's going to come up on the platform and he's going to pretend that he's got some project. I don't know what he's working on, but from what I hear, Becky has him pretty busy most of the time getting projects done for her. Every once in a while when I call, I'll hear a whip cracking in the background. And I think that's Becky, but I'm not sure. So anyway, if I gave it to him and I said, sure, you can borrow this for this project, and then he began working on something, whatever that might be. Hopefully he doesn't damage anything that's here. And I said, wait, Brother Pritchett, just the way that you're using that, it's going to wear out real fast. Listen, I know you've got it on the highest speed right now, but I only want you to run it at about half speed because after all, it's not going to work real well, so you can only run it at about half speed. I don't want it to wear out, you know. And so you can go back and go to work. And if I were always kind of over his shoulder and just watching what he did and say, yeah, okay, I guess you can do that. Yep, that's good. And if I were always talking to him about, what a great friend I am by loaning my tool out to him and then said, wait a minute, no, I don't want you to use it on that type of screw right there because that kind will strip the head of this, so you're going to have to use something else for that one. You get the idea, right? He would not be very thankful at the end, and I'm really not that good of a friend by loaning it to him and then constantly watching over his shoulder, right? So what is the best thing I could do? If I really wanted to be a blessing to him, you can put all that back together, Brother Pritchett, it would really be this way. The best thing that I could do for him is just to, go ahead and put it in there if you would, Brother Pritchett, is just to come to him and say, you know what, Brother Pritchett, you're in need of this and you have some jobs that you need to do. And so here's what I'm going to do. This now belongs to you. You can do whatever you want with it. It is yours. If I was good at wrapping presents, which we all know I'm not, I could wrap it up with a nice, put it in a box with a nice bow, have his name on it, and I could give it to him for Christmas. And then at that point, what I've done by giving it to him is now it belongs to him. If he abuses it, that's his business. If he uses it the way I think it ought to be used, that's his business. Maybe he's like some men, I've seen some men do this when they have one of these drills and there's a nail head sticking up and they just go and use it like a hammer. He can use it like a hammer if he wants, which I've heard is not very good for those kind of drills. Because I've presented it to him. It is a present or a gift to him. Now he gets to use it as he wants. All right, Brother Pritchett, thank you very much. You did a great job. All right. And you cannot have that. I did not present that to you. All right, very good. But with that illustration, I want you to look at verse 1 again of Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, what is that next word? Present. Now, if you didn't know the context of the verse and you didn't know that verse already, and I took that one word out and I drew it on a chalkboard up here like Brother Eric likes to do, if I just drew it on a chalkboard and said, what is that word? More than likely, you wouldn't say present. You would say present, as in like gift. It's the same basic word, isn't it? It's the verb form of the noun present. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Give it as a gift. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to submit to you tonight that most of what we do as Christians when giving our body to the Lord is we're like the first part of the illustration where I was hovering over Brother Pritchett's shoulder and telling him, no, don't use it that way. Use it this way. It's going to wear out too fast. Don't use it on that kind of a screw. Whatever. I would be, most of us as Christians, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we give it with caveats. We give ourselves to the Lord with certain stipulations. I'll do it this far, this much, but Lord, that's too much. No, I'm not going to do that because that's going beyond what I'm comfortable with. And I think if I were to do that, it would be an abuse of me, and I think I would wear out too fast, and this and that, and we have excuse after excuse after excuse. And I want to submit to you tonight that that is most of what we do as Christians. And I would submit to you tonight that that is not a fulfillment of Romans 12, 1 and 2. That when we give God caveats, when we give him limitations, when we say, I will let you use my body for your service, but only under the conditions that I have, then we're not really presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. The second part of the illustration is what is required if we are going to fulfill Romans 12 and 1 and 2, and that is we give the gift to the point where, God, if you want to use me for the purpose for which I think I was designed, that's fine. If you want to use me for a purpose that I don't think I was designed for, that's fine. You can use me, you can abuse me. Whatever you want to do, Lord, I am here, and wherever you want to use me, I will be used. That is presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. And anything less than that is not a fulfillment of what Paul was beseeching of the Roman Christians there in Romans 12. And I want to submit to you tonight that because of what we commemorated right here with the death of the Lord Jesus, it is only right that you would give yourself to him as a living sacrifice, that, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And so tonight, with that very simple message, I want to then look at the next couple of verses, and then we'll just have a time of invitation. And I want to challenge you tonight to give yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord. That, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, whether I like it or not, whether I feel like it's abuse or not, if you want me to be used in that way, you have full permission. I present as a present my body for you as a living sacrifice. Let's look at the next verses. Verse 3, this is key, friends. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse number 3 is key to verses 1 and 2. Why is it that we do the first part of the illustration where we give ourselves to the Lord, but we look over his shoulder and say, you can't use me that way. Nope, that, not that way. That way. Okay, right there. Yep, that's the limit right there. God, that's as far as I'll go. Why do we do that? Because we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We are American Christians, after all. And as Americans, we think a lot of ourselves. We fall prey to the culture around us, And all we have to do is look at the culture around us and we can see everybody thinks too much of themselves. Everybody thinks, and we fall prey to it as well, that we deserve this and we deserve that. And if they didn't serve me at McDonald's just the way that I think, then I'm mad at them because after all, I'm the customer and all this kind of garbage. And we kind of mock it sometimes. But wait a minute, we fall prey to the same thing. The reason we don't give ourselves to the Lord completely is we don't think soberly according to truth. We think highly of ourselves. Well, I've got limitations. I know God wants to use me, but I'm not about to be abused. I'm not about to be used that way. Now, wait a minute, why? Was the Lord abused for you? Did he give any limitations to his death for you? The answer is no. Every abuse you could think of fell his direction, including abuse from God the Father with the wrath that should have fallen on you and me. It fell on him. And then who are we to then think that we are higher than he is? But yet we fall prey to that, right? So that leads us then to verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The Apostle Paul then switches gears a little bit, but it's the same basic conversation that now he begins to talk about the local church and how we have gifts and we ought to use our gifts. Now, I can almost hear the average Christian, including myself, saying things like, aha, there's the stipulation I can give to God. Because after all, he wants to use me in the gifting that I have, right? And I don't think I have the gifting to work in that area of ministry there, because I don't really like that area of ministry. And so I don't think I really have that gifting, and so God's not expecting me to go over there, because look, it says that I have to work according to my own gifting. Au contraire. And here's proof. The Apostle Paul did not do the ministry that he felt he was gifted to do. You and I know the Apostle Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. That was not the Apostle Paul's heart. If you know anything about the book of Acts, you know the Apostle Paul basically begged the Lord Jesus Christ to let him stay in Jerusalem and work with the Jews. That was his heart. He wanted to see his brethren come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted them to accept their Messiah. And Jesus said, no, they will not listen to you. Go to the Gentiles. And so he did not follow his heart. He did not follow where he felt like he was best being used. He followed where God needed him to go. He was a living sacrifice. And friends, it's the same for you and me. If we, again, are going to present our bodies a living sacrifice, that means that in a lot of cases, you will not get to do the ministry that you want to do. That if you're going to be used of God, you've got to let go and say, God, wherever you want me, I'll go. Wherever you want me, that ministry, I'll take it. Because I belong to you, I present, as a present, I present my body a living sacrifice to you. I want to challenge you tonight, because of the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice. Let's have a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus, who did not give any caveats. He did not give any limitations on the sacrifice that he was willing to make for us, that he presented his body a living sacrifice, and more than that, a dying sacrifice for us. I thank you, dear Lord, that you were willing to give that. Now, Lord Jesus, would you please impress upon our hearts the need to do the same? Lord, these dear people that have come on this Sunday night, they do not belong to me. It doesn't matter what I'm pleased with in their lives or not. They do belong to you. This church is yours. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray, would you please work in the hearts of the people of your church that we, as a congregation and individuals, would present our bodies a living sacrifice. Please use this time of invitation for Jesus' sake, and in his name we pray. Amen.